I know it's almost noon, but close enough. My name is Janet Swearer Rodman, and as Bishop has said, I'm the Archdeacon for our diocese, and I'm also the Deacon for St. Peter's in Washington. I want to thank Bishop Skirving for giving us the opportunity to share information about our deacons and about our resolution. Before we go any further, though, I'd like to introduce our deacons and ask that they stand as they hear their names. First, we have Rebecca Bean from St. Andrew's Goldsboro. We have Carol Eaton from St. Andrew's Moorhead City. John Gaskell from Christ Church New Bern. Pam Hayes, who is having a little trouble standing. Oh, she can do it, there she goes, from St. Philip's Southport. Lisa Kirby from Christ Church New Bern, who's up here with me. Michael Ligon from St. James the Fisherman in Shallot, along with Jean Miller, who is also from St. James the Fisherman in Shallot, and they are not back in the room yet. We have Linda Murdoch from St. Christopher's Havelock, Mary Mac Shields from St. Joseph's Fayetteville, Robin Smith from St. Francis by the Sea, Pine Knoll Shores, and as you have heard earlier, she is our baby deacon this year, because she was ordained back in May. We have Rhonda Thomas, who you saw up here with Church of the Servant. She is no longer our baby deacon. She's moved into her teen years of the diaconate. And Bobby Weatherly of St. Paul's Greenville. And those are our deacons. Thank you. So as vocational deacons, we are charged with bringing the world to the church and the church to the world. We do that through the servant ministries to which we are each called. Through our parishes and for the benefit of our communities, we do a multitude of things. We run coat closets and organize the repair of homes belonging to the elderly and underprivileged. We partner with churches, or we partner our churches with public schools to support and help the most vulnerable students become successful. We lead addiction ministries, and we take the lead in pastoral care. We visit prisons, and we advocate for the uninsured and the mentally ill. We work to provide resources and housing for the homeless and food for the hungry. We strive for racial justice, and we strive for justice for immigrants while welcoming them into our churches. We live out in real and tangible ways, Matthew 25, and take to heart the words, "I tell you the truth, whatever you do for one of the least of these of mine, you did for me." We bring the world to the church and the church to the world. At the diocesan level, deacons serve or have served on the Commission on Ministry, the Executive Council, the Episcopal Farm Worker Board, and other diocesan committees. One of us is even on a commission created by General Convention. And then we come to Sunday morning. Each Sunday, our deacons proclaim the gospel, standing in the midst of the congregation so that all will know that the good news is for everyone to hear and for everyone to experience. We set the Lord's table in preparation for the nourishment of our souls, so that at the end of worship, we are ready to be sent out into the world in peace to love and serve our Lord. This is what all deacons do. It's what our deacons do right here in the Diocese of East Carolina. It is our heart's desire to continue serving in these ways on Sundays and every day among the poor, the suffering, and the marginalized of our communities. When I was ordained almost 21 years ago, I knew, as did my brother and sister deacons who had come before me and who have come since, that I would not be monetarily compensated for my work as a deacon. Thankfully, my husband and I had already been working for many years in our careers. We have the luxury, and I call it a luxury, of health insurance. and we have the opportunity to pay into pension plans. But what I did not know when I first was ordained is that this is a tradition, not in the canons, but a tradition to not remunerate deacons. It is a tradition that deacons would not be monetarily compensated except for perhaps their ministry expenses or mileage. And I quote here, "It has been a belief in the Episcopal Church that deacons gain moral credibility for their prophetic voice by serving without pay." And so the tradition has stayed around for a very, very, very long time. I don't know of many other vocations except for those religious orders that take a vow of poverty that are not monetarily compensated. I'd like us to take this time to re-examine this statement and this tradition. I'd like us to think of younger potential deacons who may make the decision to prolong their answer to God's call to servant ministry because the benefits of their secular work give them security for their future that they can't afford to relinquish. So perhaps they wait until they are closer to retirement age so as to begin their discernment process, and as we, the church, lose years of potential servant ministry. We just had the great pleasure of listening to 10 enthusiastic, smart, articulate young people from our diocese. And I don't know about you, but I heard some deacon voices in there. Did you? Yes. I would rather have them find their passion and discern their call now as they are young, rather than 40 years from now, simply because we could not offer them some kind of financial security for their future. Today, the community of deacons proposes a change to that tradition within our diocese, asking that parishes with deacons consider a minimum compensation to its deacons for the primary purpose of being able to benefit from the church pension fund. And Deacon Lisa Kirby now is going to provide us with a brief history about our resolution and what it would mean for us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so when did this discussion of deacon compensation start? In 2018, when the Church Pension Fund made significant policy changes and redefined its definition of employment, many deacons discovered that they were newly eligible to become active in the fund. Now, all deacons ordained since 1970 are inactive members of the Church Pension Fund. So the deacons in Vermont came up with a novel idea. They brought to their convention a proposal that deacons be paid $25 a month plus the church pension fund assessment of $4.50. The church pension fund agreed that such payments would make deacons eligible to receive benefits. Advocates, as she just said, have pointed out that additional benefits might make the diaconate more inviting for younger deacons who may not have the financial support of some of the older ones. And Vermont also questioned the fairness of offering high-quality spiritual support to only one order of ministry. So what will deacons gain by being active members of the fund? They will be eligible to accept invitations to Credo, which, as is stated in our resolution, provides a holistic approach to wellness for mind, body, and spirit. What are the other benefits? Deacons could enroll in health insurance, life insurance, retirement benefits, death benefits, as well as assistance with financial planning. This certainly might be appealing to younger people considering a call to the diaconate. Now, some have wondered if some of the provisions of these benefits will do harm to the fund's ability to pay other retired clergy. In fact, it is suggested that this might actually help the fund's finances. It seems like a win-win to me. I'd love to see us become the 23rd diocese to pass a deacon compensation resolution, and there are many others poised to do so. Please note that all of the other of the 22 dioceses that have deacon compensation resolutions have made that payment mandatory. We're asking you to consider the possibility that you might be willing to do this. I know you love your deacons, so please carefully consider the possibility of increasing benefits for deacons and possibly increasing our numbers. And I give it back to Janet.
In past decades, most of the deacons in our diocese have either been at retirement age when they were ordained, or already established financially with private health insurance and retirement plans. And as Lisa has just said, we, the community of deacons, are asking you today to consider the resolution as a way to offer something we have not had before, membership and investment in the CPG, the Church Pension Group. We understand that many of our present deacons will not benefit in a big way from enrollment in the CPG because of our ages. I'm sorry to tell you that publicly. I'm not calling out any of our deacons of a certain age, including myself. But that is not why we're proposing our resolution. At our annual deacons retreat held just a few weeks ago at Trinity Center, our deacons agreed that we wanted to leave a legacy for those who will follow us. We want future generations of deacons, some maybe that stood before us just a little while ago. We want future generations of deacons in our diocese to be able to enjoy the full financial benefits that CPG has to offer, something that we have not been able to do. Again, we are so grateful to you, Bishop, for giving us this time to address the convention. We are so grateful, especially to each of you sitting here today, for the way your faith and your example encourage and inspire the community of deacons. We'll be presenting the resolution this afternoon. We hope that you will prayerfully review it. If you have questions about it, please look for Lisa, look for me, or any of our deacons during the lunch break. Thank you very much.